Many of you are aware already about what we do working with youth in Esquimalt. I want to begin by saying a big thank you to Nanaimo Alliance Church for being a church that's partnered with us as individuals and in prayer and encouragement. If I can tell you a secret, I think that there's people in this church that probably know us better and pray for us better than some of the people in Esquimalt. So, and that's not to put them down, that's just to say thank you for your guys' love and your support, your encouragement, and your prayer. I'm going to bring out my trusty PowerPoint thing. And got it. All right, so the community youth in Esquimalt is a ministry that was started with the vision of a number of small churches in the area. Esquimalt, if you don't know, is just west of Victoria, a municipality. You wouldn't even know that you're crossing into Esquimalt except for the sign. There's about 1,300 youth there between the ages of 10 and 19, and there's five or six churches, all probably, you know, the largest one would be about 75 people. And they kind of had this idea together, hey, we can't do something by ourselves to reach these youth, but what if we got together and did something together? And so one of the churches, Harborview Alliance Church, which is a church that I'd interned at and is Candace and my home church now, phoned us and said, hey, what would you guys think about coming out as missionaries to youth in Esquimalt? And we prayed about it and really felt clearly that that's what God has called us to. And when we arrived, we didn't know any youth. There was maybe one or two youth connected to any of the churches. And we just began to pray. And the vision that God gave us is revealed in a dartboard, if you can imagine. The bullseye of a dartboard. The bullseye is youth in Esquimalt living the life that Jesus describes in John 10:10. Jesus says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but then he says, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So that's the bullseye. That's the center of what we want for youth in Esquimalt. Then the ring that's outside of that is what we call a connection relationship. So it's a mentorship or a discipleship relationship, maybe is the word that would be familiar in the church. And then the ring outside of that is causes. So we challenge youth to engage in causes. So we're doing things like serving in local things. We volunteered at a warehouse that sends things all over the world to serve educational and health needs and that type of thing. And then the outer ring is contact. So we just make contacts with youth where they are at. And that's been over the last 7 years that we've been doing that. I just want to bring two updates in two specific areas. Natalie mentioned our youth retreat. I won't give too much of an update on that, but I'm going to talk about specifically our discipleship group that we've started. We've started a discipleship night, and then a physical space, a drop-in space for youth. So we're going to jump right in to that. So this is our home group, our discipleship group. You can see in the top right corner there a couple of youth, and then there's Logan there with our son. We had been praying for a while about how we could help youth who are coming to youth group who might want to learn more about Christ or go deeper in their relationship with him. 95% of the youth that come to our youth nights have no relationship with Christ. Some of them have very little knowledge about Christ. They just haven't really grown up hearing about him or in a Christian home. And in fact, some of their homes are very broken. So we thought maybe we could kind of offer something that has not only the message of Christ, but that we could share our lives with them as well and say, hey, this is how we live. So we started talking about having a discipleship group in our home. And right away we thought, okay, well, let's have it start at 7 or 7:30 p.m. Our kids will be in bed, hopefully, by that time. If you have young kids, you'll know what I mean. They kind of like, they're in bed, yes, and then they're out of bed, and they're in bed, and they're out of bed, and they're in bed. Does anybody have that problem? Or have you had that problem? Nobody? You guys are better parents than we are. So we thought, no, let's start at 6:30, because then the youth that come, the small number of youth that come, will be able to see how we interact with our children, how we interact as a couple and as parents. And then we can put the kids down and we have dinner together with them and we just share our lives. And then we open up the word or we just discuss questions. You know, what does this mean about Christ? Or what does it mean when it says this in the Bible? Or how come Christians believe this? Or how come Christians say that? And it's been really exciting to see. It's just a small group, one youth to three youth, usually just one youth. And Candace kind of takes the lead on the discipleship part of that. She's really gifted in that area. And when we were thinking about starting it, she said, well, how many youth do you think are going to come? Because she's not always able to come to youth group because she's at home with the kids. So she's like, how many youth do you think are going to come? I'm like, I don't know, 0, 2, 5. I just don't know. And she said, do you think that few youth might show up? I said, yeah, that's okay. God doesn't despise the day of small beginnings. And when I think about where the youth group began 7 years ago, we just had two kids. And now we've got over probably probably over 120 different kids that have come at some time, and then a youth group, you know, anywhere from 12 to 20 kids, and taking kids to camp, and people are hearing about Christ. I'm saying, like, we just start small and care and share the gospel, and God will take it from there. And even if it just is one guy, that's fine. It's worth that investment of time for eternal consequences, for eternal relationship with Christ. So these youth are at our house, and one youth says, okay, so you know how in the Old Testament they had to sacrifice animals? And we go, yeah. He said, how come you guys, he's not a Christian, he said, how come you guys don't sacrifice animals anymore? I thought, oh, that's a great question. And I was about to open my mouth to answer, and then another youth who's been coming to our discipleship nights the most regularly said, oh, that's easy. And then unbeknownst to him, he basically almost quoted the book of Hebrews, and he said, well, because Jesus came as the once-for-all sacrifice, so we no longer need to make animal sacrifices anymore. I thought, what? I said, where did you hear that? How did you know that? And he's like, are you serious, Cam? You and Candace have told us this stuff so many times. Of course, some of it's going to sink in. I thought, yes! Little seed that's taken root, and I hope that it grows into something that he personally takes for himself and not just a head knowledge. Last weekend, we took a group of youth to camp at Capron Ray. So we took a group of youth, none of them are Christians, and we'd actually talked to the camp. Anybody been to Camp Capron Ray before? So we talked to Chris, the camp director. We said, hey, is it possible that we could have a speaker that's sort of with an evangelistic intent? Because a lot of the youth we're bringing, in fact, all of the youth we're bringing, don't really know anything about Christ or don't follow him and haven't put their faith in him. And he said, you guys are coming on the right summer. They had a traveling itinerant youth speaker that just kind of travels around and tells people about Jesus. And so you can see him you can see it on the far right, and he's way above everybody. That's because he's standing up on a stool and giving an illustration. And he just so clearly illustrated different things about the gospel, about the fall, about our sin, about our need for forgiveness, about God's provision and love of Christ's death in our place. And he just laid it all out, and our youth got a lot out of it, I hope, and I think. Nobody said, yeah, this is what I want to respond. But this speaker did say to us after that he had a number of youth speak with him and respond in different ways. So we're kind of thankful for that. Super thankful to see youth smiling. Some of these youth, you drop them off at their house, or you pick them up from their house, and you're just like, man, like, this is just a mess. You just see the way things are, not just physically, but relationally, and maybe even you sense something spiritually as well. And to see a youth that's in that situation just to smile and have fun and just be a kid again is like, oh, like, you just praise God for that. And I pray that they see in that moment that they're called to come to him like little children. So when they experience that just little that childlike joy that maybe has been stolen from them, or maybe they've experienced so rarely. And then my final announcement, or update, I should say, is about a drop-in space. So these pictures don't look like much, but let me explain what's going on here. So for over 12 years, before the pastors in Esquimalt even had the vision of kind of coming together to bring Candace and I sort of out there as missionaries, and they had this idea of what would it look like if we had a drop-in space for youth. And so right from the beginning, actually even before Candace and I came, this has been being prayed for. And in the last sort of year or so, if you follow our newsletters, you would have seen that, we've just kind of really been praying into that and feeling like God's saying, yeah, now it's the time to move on that. So we'd be phoning different places and following up different rental ads, and there'd just be sort of dead ends, closed doors, that space isn't available anymore, or the spaces, you can't have people in the space, it's just for storage and warehousing. And then I received a phone call from Pastor Rob Olson at Victoria Alliance Church, and he said, I don't know why I didn't mention this before, but there's a businessman connected to our church that just purchased a building in Esquimalt, and maybe you guys can meet. Maybe there's some type of space there. I know you're looking for a physical space, a drop-in center for youth. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So we met with him that very day, and I explained what we were doing, and he kind of showed us around the building. Oh, almost forgot. When I showed up at the building, it's half a block from the high school. So I'm thinking, okay, God, what are you doing here? Because the high school, we have a five-day-per-week breakfast program there. The majority of the kids in our youth group go to that high school. I'm like, okay, God, maybe you're setting something up here. You can see the high school from the front curb of this building. And then we walk inside, and there's a space in there that's about, 1,100 square feet, 1,200 square feet. And the owner is a believer. And he walks us through the building and he shows us, he said, oh yeah, you can use this space, you can use that space. Like, this is the space that I'm thinking you might want to rent, but this space is open to you, that space is open to you. We've got a pool table upstairs you can use. And I'm like, man, who is this guy? And they said, oh, you guys should come and meet my mom. I said, your mom lives in your warehouse building or whatever? He said, oh, I built her this amazing suite. So he knocks on the door and we walk, and there's a woman sitting there reading the Bible and praying. I thought, where else are we going to find a drop-in center that's got somebody upstairs, live-in intercessor, praying? And he shared with us, when he bought the building, it had been kind of derelict for about 20 years, and the bank kind of looked around and said, yeah, we're not getting involved here. He kind of had to pursue some other means of funding, which was a whole other story, but it's his story, so I won't share it. But he said when he moved into the building, there was some really sketchy stuff going on in there that he just from the layout of the building, he said, yeah, I think there was some pretty sinful activity going on here. But he said, don't worry. He said, my mom's been through the whole building and exercised the whole thing. It's all good. She's been praying through this place. And I just couldn't believe how this could all be happening half a block from the high school. One of our board members, some of you might know Arnie Tozzi, he's probably spoken here before. And he said to me, if you know Arnie, he's about like this tall. Don't tell him I said that. And he's really serious. And he said, you know, if God's not in this, my name's Rumpelstiltskin. Right on, Arnie. And so we began praying that we would be able to make a financial offer to this, the owner of the building, that would be a blessing to him as well as a blessing to us. So we're coming up, he sends us the numbers, his accountant sends us the numbers of what the market value is for the place, and we're like, oh, that's not what we really felt God had been laying on our heart. So we were kind of coming up with all these different ways. Okay, we could kind of do like a tax receipt for that, and then we could kind of help him out with this. And so we kind of pitched all these ideas to him, and he's just kind of like, he's like, yeah, I don't really want to negotiate with you. He's like, just give me the first number that you said. So just give me the $1,500 a month for the whole space, including everything, instead of $2,200 a month plus everything else. And he's like, we'll just go with it. He's like, this is God's work, and God's going to do something here. And I thought, whoa, what? Praise God. So I feel like after that, I went to a meeting with the pastors, and they were like, it happened, didn't it? I'm like, yeah. Just felt like a deer in the headlights. I still feel like that I'm living in the midst of a miracle. The next week, a youth at breakfast program, this was when school was still on, came in, and he'd just been assaulted the day before by an adult across the street from this building that we're going to be renting a space for youth. And he said, yeah, this guy came out of the building, and he stopped the guy, and he brought me upstairs, and he gave me a pop and got his employees to watch me and phone the police and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, is it this building? He said, no, it was the one beside it. I was like, oh, it's like, I was hoping it was my guy from my building. And then I mentioned that to the guy who owns the building that we're going to be renting. He's like, oh, yeah, that was me. He said, I was in this big meeting with the Coast Guard, and we were doing business. But he's like, it wasn't going that well anyways. And of course, like, I just stopped the meeting because he said I could hear when the kid got hit. I could hear it across the street. So he just stopped the meeting and ran out. And I thought, man, this is the guy. Like, this is the type of guy that you want to be renting a space from for youth. It's amazing. I just God keeps bringing all these confirmations. We haven't even really started asking for finances yet. I had a man email me. He's been following the ministry and praying for us, but as far as I know, has never given financially. And we sat down for coffee, and he said, hey, I hear that you have a physical space. And he says, really cool, because I've just come into a large sum of money, and I want to give you $1,000 a month for the first year for the rent. I was like, sure, can I pay for your coffee? Like... Just the thing, like, so I really feel like I'm living in a miracle in a lot of ways, and I just look forward to sharing more and more what God's going to do. And I want to just make so clear that the goal of the ministry is not a physical space. It's just a tool to bring more youth in, to build more relationships, to share more of our lives with them and the life of Christ in us, and to share the good news that Jesus saves. So thanks for praying with us. Thanks for supporting us. We look forward to continuing to develop the relationship with you as individuals and with the as a church. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, I think I left the newsletter sign up on the back shelf thing there. There's prayer cards back there. If you want to get involved financially, we have about $18,000 that we need for renovations, and then it's $1,500 a month for rent. Always need monthly support in that way. If you want to get involved in that way, you can either email us, call us at a prayer card, come and talk to me, schedule a coffee with me, and tell me you want to give me $1,000 a month, because apparently that happens. I'll buy your coffee. It's a deal, okay? And I can't believe that I feel like I can't believe that I'm standing here telling you guys that this is happening. And it just shows me that God is so passionate about lost people. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul says to Timothy, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. And then he goes on to say that he's saved because of God's mercy, even though he's the worst of sinners. He's out persecuting Christians, and he's saved because of God's mercy. This isn't even the sermon yet, but I guess we're in a sermon now. Saved because of God's mercy, so that some might see, look how amazing God's mercy is to this person who was the worst of sinners. And now he's saved, he's following Christ, he's fully serving Christ with all his joy. I think, oh yeah, the drop in space, those are some pictures. It looks better than that now. There's a nice little wall covered in witches and stuff like that with like an old knife. That was cool. That one with Frankenstein and the skulls, that was the wallpaper in the bathroom. I think we're probably going to take that down. And like I say, now it's come down. I guess the live-in intercessor upstairs, she'd had enough of that stuff in her building, so she prayed and tore it all down. Said, awesome. Thanks, Grandma. I shared how we have a discipleship group in our home, and I shared how we started early because we want youth to see how we live our lives and because we want to share with them the gospel. I've shared this theme before with this church. It comes up almost every time I give an update that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 7 to 8, he says, as apostles of Christ, sorry, I'll give you a second, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to do that. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 to 8. As apostles of Christ, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a nursing mother caring for her children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. So I want to talk very briefly about Paul's motivation to share the gospel, the message of the gospel, and the method that Paul used to share the gospel with the Thessalonians. And it's kind of, I mean, there's lots of different ways to live life. There's lots of different ways to share the gospel. But this is the way that I feel that God has revealed to Candace and I that we should be sharing the gospel. And so I'm just going to put that out there for you, because I think there are some principles that are going to be helpful. So motivation to share the gospel, the message of the gospel, and the method of sharing the gospel. And please hear me that there's going to be different ways of doing this. It doesn't have, you know, if I give an illustration, it's not like, oh, well, that's the way that Cam said it, so that's the way you have to do it. Not that anybody would think that, because I'm not really, newsflash, I'm not really like a super gifted evangelist. I just love telling people about Jesus, and I trust him to do what he will do with the seeds. So our motivation, Paul's motivation, he's saying to the Thessalonians, I what? You so much. Blank, you so much. You can speak. You can say it. Love, yes, I loved you so much that I shared with you not only not only the gospel, but my very life as well. So our motivation is love for people and love for God. My grandpa was very sick a few years ago. He's passed away now, and he was kind of on his deathbed. And I don't know if you know this, Mom, but I went in and he couldn't speak. And I held his hand and I said, Grandpa, I want you to be there. I know that I'm going to heaven, but I don't know where you're at. And then I just shared with him about Christ, and he just squeezed my hand. So I have hope that the motivation of love was right there. And I think about when we come to the table of communion, we're celebrating a supper that's going to be happening. There's going to be a wedding supper before the Lamb. There's going to be this amazing meal where we're welcomed into that full relationship. And look at your friends, look at your neighbors, look at people in your family and be like, I want you at that table. Like, I want you to be at that table when we celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb. I want each and every person in this room to be there. I have a friend who's a missionary in closed access nations. He's not allowed to be a missionary, so he finds other jobs and stuff to fill his time, but really he's there just to share about Christ. And I don't know if I'll ever see him physically again. He's just like, he's all over the world, but we email each other and I said, yeah, man, one day we're going to sit at the table together. You're probably going to be way closer to Jesus than I am, but you can call down from there and you can say, hey, These are the guys that I send out newsletters and pray, and you prayed for them, and now they're here. Now they're at the table. So we're motivated by love for people, motivated by love for those that are close to us, motivated for love by love for those that are enemies. We're motivated by love. Paul says that the Thessalonians became so dear to him. Other translations say, so affectionately longing, so deeply do we care for you because of our great love for you. And then he says, because you're so dear to us. The word that's used there, the Greek word that we translate in English as dear, that's the only place that Greek word is used in the Greek New Testament. So you have to go outside of the New Testament to figure out how it's used in other literature, right? You've got this word, and it's a Greek word. It's only used once in the New Testament. So to get the context of what that word means and how it's used, they go to other Greek writings of that time, and they say, how does this word used? And the word there where Paul says, you become so dear to us, is the word that is used when a parent is longing for a child that they've lost. That's the depth of love. That's the depth of love that Jesus is calling us to for those who don't know him, for those that do know him. And can I stand up here and say that I have that love for Esquimalt kids? Nope. But I ask God to give me that love. And here's the good news. When you're saved, who comes to live within you? And who has that love? And who can give you that love? He can reveal that. He can fill that, fill you with that love for others. So we're motivated by love for people. We're motivated by our love for God. And sometimes that's as simple as, I mean, if you sit down with a grandma, I'm going to tell on you, Mom, because you're a grandma. What do they talk about? Grandmas talk about their grandkids, right? Grandkids, grandkids, grandkids. Because they love them. We talk about what we love. When you sit down with somebody who's passionate about a hobby or a person or a career or whatever, they talk about it. They talk about it. They're not ashamed of it. They don't even feel like they need to work up the strength or the energy to do it. They just kind of talk about it. Sometimes it comes up and they talk about it. We have a youth leader. His name's Carlos, and if he was here, literally, I should have brought him. If he was standing out there with the doors closed, I would say to you, okay, I'm going to get Carlos to come up and talk for 3 minutes. Within 3 minutes, maybe five, you would know that he's super proud of his Mexican heritage, super proud to have lived in San Diego, and he loves comic books. Natalie, have you heard Carlos talk about these things? What? Oh, that blows my illustration up. Anyways. Whoops. But he talks about these things to almost everybody he meets. Somebody will come in, and he'll find out that they speak Spanish, and boom, they're just gone. They're speaking Spanish. Or somebody will come in, and he finds out that they like comic book characters. Boom, he's talking about them with comics for almost the whole night. I'm trying to give the message. I'm like, Carlos, like, we're trying to talk about Jesus, and you need to be quiet over there. We talk about the things we love. A friend of mine said to me one time, well, you just do what you do because you're afraid of going to hell. You're afraid that if you don't follow the rules that God has laid out, that God's going to punish you. I thought, I'm not afraid of going to hell at all. And then I'm able to share with him, like, this is how much I love God, and this is what God has done with me. Just a little bit of the message, because we've shared life together. So what is the message? So that's a little bit about our motivation for love. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, Cam, like, I love God, but I am not excited about him right now. I've been there. I think I'm kind of in and out of that place right now, if I can be honest. Can I recommend a book? I know that's kind of like a stock answer, I don't know, but When I Don't Desire God by John Piper, When I Don't Desire God by John Piper, awesome. And you can tell God that too. You can tell God, hey God, I love you, and I know that you love me, but I don't feel excited about sharing about you right now. Can you transform me? Can you, by your Holy Spirit, work in my life to give me such a deep love for you and for other people? That I'll share you, and I'll share your love. So what is the message? I think we know in this church, I think we know what the message is. Sadly, I have visited churches where I'm not sure that it's clear that the message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God created the world, and he created it good. He created man and woman, and he said that it is good. It is very good. And then we said, no, we are not going to live that way. We're going to live this way in rebellion against you because we know better. And then God has a choice. He says, okay, you've broken the law that I've set out for you. So I can wipe you off the face of the earth. And I'd be totally just in doing that. And it could have just ended there. He could have gone, okay, see you guys. Maybe I'll try that another time, maybe not. But because of his love for us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So he offers his son as payment for our sin, for the rejection of his plan that we have taken, that we might be forgiven, that he would die death in our place. And then his death in our place is confirmed. The seal of approval is put on it by his resurrection from the dead. And it shows us that we will overcome death as well because Jesus has overcome the grave. So that's the message. Do you get to share that with your friend every day? Is that what I'm saying? If you just do this, share your life, you're going to get to share the whole gospel. No, not always. Paul tells us in Colossians, make the most of every opportunity. Colossians 4, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be seasoned with salt. And can I recommend the word of God? When you're sharing, you might just get to share just a tiny bit. Like I said, my friend says to me, we were playing sports or something like that, and then we're kind of walking off the field. And he says to me, yeah, well, you just live the Christian life because you are motivated by a fear of hell. I was like, phew, I haven't thought about being afraid of hell for like decades. I'm not afraid of hell at all. And then I was able to share with him about how Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. And we don't have to live that way. And then he turned to me another time, this was a few weeks later, and he said, you know, there's like a 1 in 4 billion chance that hell's real. And that kind of scares me because I don't want to go there. And there's just a chance to share just a little bit more of the message. Another time, I was with some friends, they're not believers, and we were in another city. And they were looking at women in a way that was obviously lustful. They were just kind of like leering at them and being like, oh, look at that one or whatever. And I didn't really like stand up and jump on my chair, but I talked to one of them after. And I said, you know, well, it doesn't hurt just to look, right? And I was like, well, actually, a wise man said that if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, then you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And he hung his head. And he said, yeah, you're right. And we had that relationship where I could do that. I didn't just kind of like run down the street and be like, hey, Luster, this is what you should do. Don't do that. We had the relationship. I was sharing my life with him. And where the opportunity came up, just a little bit of the message, just a seed. Hey, like, you don't have to live that way. There's more to life than that. Sometimes you get asked. We had a youth who asked us, what's your hope? 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an answer when people ask you about the hope that you have. You need to be able to give a reason. And it's so easy. He's just like, what? Like, he's like, I can't live my life without hope anymore. What is your hope? I said, come on, man. You've been coming to youth group for 6 months. What do you think my hope is? It's Jesus. He said, what's your hope for the world? He said, I look at the world and it's so broken and it's so wrong. I said, yeah, my hope is in Jesus. You won't always get an opportunity to share the whole message. Colossians 4, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Make the most of every opportunity. Just ask God to lead you. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with that love for others and for him. And as the opportunities come up, you share. You share your life and you share the gospel. I think we fall into, and this leads us into the method, I think we fall into a method of either we're just going to preach, we're just going to share, we're just going to speak. Or we fall into a method of we're just going to share our lives and hopefully we live so well that they'll just know. And I think of the Thessalonians, Paul's sharing with them his life and the gospel. And if he's over here and he just shares the gospel just in words, there's nobody to follow up. You know, I don't have anything against, you know, an evangelistic crusade or anything like that, but there's people that follow up, right? Imagine you're a Thessalonian. Man, that was a cool message that Paul talked about. I wonder what that guy was like all about anyways. I wonder how we'd live that out. I wonder what that would look like. And then over here, Paul lives his life so well with the Thessalonians, but he never shares with them. He never shares the gospel with them. They could say, wow, man, that Paul was an amazing guy. I wonder what he was all about. So we share our lives and we share the gospel, motivated by love. And the message, we know the whole message of salvation, and God will lead you as to how to, you know, share or not share, or how to kind of explain things in a way that's applicable to somebody, you know, where they're at. You know, if somebody's grieving, you might not talk about a certain issue, but if they're confessing, you know, a sin and need forgiveness, you might speak to them about different things that Christ has done and Christ has said. And it might just be a little thing, like I mentioned. God, by his Holy Spirit, will give you the words. He'll give you the love, and he'll reveal to you how to share your life. Maybe it's just inviting somebody out for a coffee. Maybe it's just asking a coworker, hey, you know, I noticed you've been having a difficult time. Can I talk to you about that? Or just know I'm here to talk to you if you need that. Or hey, just know that I'm praying for you. And they might be like, oh my goodness. Or sometimes they might be like, wow, that's really great. Can you pray for me about this? You don't know, but make the most of every opportunity. Motivated by love for God and for others, the truth of the gospel, and as God leads you to share, opportunities are given. Share your life and share the gospel and see what God does. We don't know, this is the last thing I'll say, we don't know how the seeds will grow. He calls us to share, to scatter seed, and then who's responsible for its growth? One plants, another waters, but God brings the increase. So we don't know what that seed's going to do, but how foolish would a farmer be if he looked out one year, or she, farmer looks out one year and says, you know, I'm not sure how these seeds are going to grow this year, so I'm just going to keep them all in the barn. I'm just going to keep all of them in my pockets this year because I don't know how they're going to grow. I don't know what's going to come of those seeds. I'm not going to share those seeds. I'm not going to sow those seeds. That would be a foolish farmer. God, thank you for Nanaimo Alliance. Thank you that we've even talked about, you know, we sung the words of your death and your resurrection and your blood and your death in our place. Thank you that I even heard Alpha and that, you know, Tracy even said, hey, like, sharing about Jesus. I was like, whoa, awesome. So I ask that that would be stirred up in our hearts, that we wouldn't be shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up. Oh, you need to be better at this. But that we would be saying, Holy Spirit, transform me. Transform me. Open up doors, open opportunities. And so I ask that this would be a church and a people where we would just be sowing seed. Where we would be sowing seed and that we would be making the most of every opportunity. And it would just be a joy to get to share about you. And I pray that for my own life too, Lord. Open up doors for us, we pray, to share about you. In Jesus' name, amen.